All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. What we're going to do today is we're going to do My Awakening, episode 16. So if you guys missed it, we interviewed Brendan Daly last night. Excellent interview. I did mine on Saturday. And tonight we're doing Carly Sunshine Medrano. Carly, how you doing?
Hi, Brian. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you. Thank you for coming
Awesome.
on.
Well, I am honored. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited. And it's so nice to see you.
Oh, it's nice to see you too. So what I wanted to just tell everybody real quick is what these interviews are. And these interviews, what I'm doing, people, is a series of interviews besides my regular show I do on the weekend. Just interviewing various researchers in the communities and on all different topics and getting their basically their story of their awakening journey and their timeline of events and how it's affected them and stuff like that. And then later on, if you're up for a Kali, we usually open the phones and take questions from the chat. If that's cool with you, we'll do that later.
Okay.
All right. So basically, people use different terms, and maybe I shouldn't have even used the term awakening series because I hate when people say that they're woke. You know what I mean? Because there's always more to learn, you know? But like for
Yeah.
you, what was it? When did you start? Like for me, it was 9/11. I could tell you know exactly what documentary it was or whatever. But like what for you like made you start researching things? Was it 9/11, JFK, Apollo, the Federal Reserve, chemtrails? What was it?
Well, first of all, I want to comment on the whole awakening thing. I understand people don't like to have titles and such, but I actually don't mind that terminology. I don't think there's anything wrong with, realizing that your eyes are awakening to the evil of this world and you're awakening to what is your truth and you're starting to research and your mind is opening and you're thinking and looking at things differently. I'm totally okay with that. But I understand what you mean. Like when people say it like in a slang term and they say, I'm woke. I mean, sometimes I think it's funny, but it is kind of thrown around a lot. But I'm okay with the awakening thing. So I think that's a good title for you. I love it. Because it
All
really
right.
truly is like, your eyes are opening. And I do feel like a lot of us have been asleep for a long time. So I think that totally makes sense. But my, I guess you would consider awakening, and I have this on my YouTube channel, which is Carly Sunshine. I video log about a lot of my thoughts that I'm probably going to share tonight. Was actually when I was 8 years old, and this is a very odd story to probably start this out with, but maybe we'll just dive right into it. But my awakening started with more of like a spiritual, supernatural kind of experience that I had when I was 8 years old. And it didn't have anything to do with like not necessarily as much like government lies and agendas until later I realized that the government was involved in this. But I actually had a very odd experience with what most people would consider an alien gray, a gray alien. I know a lot of people are going to be, oh my gosh, I'm turning this off. But I had a very scary experience with a creature that visited me in the night when I was 8 years old. And I video log about the experience. And, even at that time, at 8 years old, I had no idea what this was that I was seeing, what I was experiencing. I just know that it was evil to me. And I was sleeping, and I woke up and felt this like a presence or some kind of, I don't know how to explain it other than just like an evil presence watching me or like smothering me or there. I say watching me probably is the best terminology. And I woke up and got out of my bed as a young child and looked out my window. And where I used to live, I lived on a first story house, but it was on an exposed basement. So my bedroom was actually on the second floor. And there was nothing outside of it except a window. And there was a creature outside my window. And at 8 years old, I had no idea what a little an alien was. I just knew that I saw this creature that had no facial expressions, big bulbous black eyes, a gray, like cadaver, deadly color to it. And it was outside my window. It was very angry that it couldn't get into me, inside of my window. It couldn't get into my room. It couldn't hurt me. It was shaking around like violently. And acted very irritated, and I could tell what it was thinking, that it was cursing me, cursing the creator, angry that I was protected, those sorts of things. And I'll go into a little bit of my background as far as spirituality as well, and this will kind of make sense. And literally all I could think to do was just to say a tiny little prayer, and I said, God, help me. Like, that's the only thing I could think or say. I couldn't really move. I couldn't speak many words, and this thing went away. And that, as scary as it seems, at 8 years old, was like, oh, my life was kind of hunky-dory and pretty normal up until then. And when that happened to me, everything changed. Everything. I looked at things differently. I looked at the world like there was this dark presence I never knew existed before. And I really started digging into researching, like, what in the world this was. And that brought me into researching a lot on, like, the alien and the government agenda. Now we fast forward the whole way to now, I understand that there is no other planets, there's no outer space, and these creatures are not from other planets, they're not visiting, but that they're really just some kind of supernatural evil entity. You know what I mean? And a lot of
Yeah.
people would agree with me on that. But to have had an experience like that was, that changed my life at 8 years old. I looked at the whole world differently. What were you gonna say?
No, I said I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of come to that conclusion, especially those who have had experiences like mine. And I'm not going to go into it as in detail like I do on my video log. If someone wants to check it out, I think I have it called Carly Sunshine, My Backstory, or something like that. But that I started at a very young age then researching. And back then, there wasn't like, I didn't have a computer or a cell phone. I was literally going to the library at school and trying to find out what this creature was and what had happened to me. And luckily, I ended up with the right conclusion and not the wrong conclusion. I could have really gone down the wrong rabbit hole thinking that of the whole alien agenda, you know, and I went the other way and realized that this thing was very evil. And why would it curse God and curse me and be angry at me, you know, if it was just an alien from another planet, which is just so silly. And it all makes sense to me now that once I found the truth on the shape of the earth. But as I grew up, like I said, it made me look at the world completely differently as far as I didn't trust anything teachers said. I wasn't trusting things that the government was saying because of how the government could possibly be involved in those sorts of things. Fast forward a little bit into where I started really watching like documentaries. One of the first documentaries I watched, and it had nothing to do with any kind of alien agenda, but a friend of my father's. And my father was in the Navy, so, and he questioned a lot of things, government and the military industrial complex, which was wonderful, which also helped me have like a good foundation for being able to research and question things. My father's friend brought over a documentary called Waco, The Rules of Engagement. And that was my first introduction into how the government does not have our best interests at heart and would stop at nothing to hurt you, kill people just for their agenda, you know,
It
and
was
that the
kind of
media lies.
your, it was in your introduction into the idea of like what a false flag is, probably, right?
Yes. And that the media lies, the media has agenda. I mean, all those things. It just blew my mind. And I don't know as far as timeline, you know, how long after I watched that documentary that things like that 9/11 happened. But when 9/11 happened, I didn't know, you know, what was going on immediately. I remember I still lived at home, and I worked that day. I didn't work till the afternoon. And I remember waking up, I slept in, and coming downstairs and then going into the basement. And my dad was sitting down there watching TV. And I was like, what's going on? And he said immediately, we're going to war. So that was my first, you know, interpretation of what was going on. But it didn't take long after that, a couple years into it, that I got involved in Facebook wasn't even a thing. I was doing research on like MySpace and, you know, social media like that and just the regular internet. But I became friends with people like Dylan Avery and Corey Rowe, who did 9/11 Loose Change, which was an introduction. I mean, whether we think that those documentaries are completely correct or not, it was an amazing introduction
Well,
for me.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of problems in Loose Change, but honestly, Loose Change still probably the biggest documentary for me for 9/11 to get the ball rolling.
It
You know what I
opened
mean?
my eyes to it. Yep, exactly. And it was very easy to share with other people. Like
I
if
would still share
you,
it. I would share it with
I
people. I'm
would.
not gonna. Am I gonna come at somebody that's never looked into 9/11 and start talking about no planes to them? They're gonna look at me like I'm really crazy.
You have to really, I try to
You
help
have to
people with that. You have
baby
to
people.
really,
You have to baby people along. It's pretty brutal what we have to do. It's like with babysitting.
You really have to gauge people on their level of understanding and where they're the steps they're at in their journey. And we don't really even know that. We don't know their heart. But some of us, and I feel like I have the gift of understanding and I'm an empath, so I can maybe see that in people a little easier. But yeah, we have to be really compassionate when it comes to things like that. And I still think, like you said, Loose Change and those documentaries are a great introduction. Like get someone's mind and their gears rolling. Then I started looking into a little bit more. I watched 9/11 in Plain Sight, and I used to share that one a lot.
Yep,
And
that's a
of course, what's that?
I said that's a good one.
I mean, once the Waco thing happened, it wasn't immediately after that that I watched the documentary, but it wasn't too long after that. And I remember it's in April, it's around my birthday, which was really heartbreaking for me. And then getting into 9/11 investigations and such, it was like just one blowout after another, realizing how differently I looked at the world. And you're feeling like alone and wanting to share it with people and wanting so badly for someone else to feel the same way. But then it just seemed like it has snowballed so badly. There's just so many events now since then, all the
Oh,
fake shootings, the hoaxes, the.
shootings are pathetic, though, wouldn't you say? I mean, once you see Sandy Hook, it's like after that. I mean, you're done with it. I mean,
I mean,
really.
I'm not, I mean, I would say I'm an auto hoaxer. People say auto hoaxing, but I still have compassion and I'm a bleeding heart. So I still think that there are sometimes people really injured. Sandy Hook, no. But in some instances, I still, and I know people don't like that about me, but whatever, it's not hurting anyone for me to think there
Cares
might
what
be.
people like? Who cares what people like? That's
I
what I
know.
say.
I
Rule
know.
them.
It bothers
People
people though
are going to
sometimes,
hate
and
us
I'm
either
like,
way. They're going to hate on us either way, so.
I know. But as I got older into my like early 20s, I started following groups like the Prophecy Club, which was like Rob Skiba has spoken in the Prophecy Club. So I knew about Rob Skiba way before he was ever involved in Flat Earth. Bill Schneblin, who's also now a Flat Earther. I used to follow, I was listening to your interview
Which one?
today, your interview with yourself today. And also when the one with Brendan last night. And he was talking about like following Coast to Coast, and I followed Coast to Coast, Alex Jones, like all those groups. And at that point in time, I thought, well, this is very different and it is not mainstream, and I'm okay with that. Like it's helping me expand my mind and I'm questioning things. But then you get to a point where you're like, okay, a lot of that's really bogus and some of it's really fabricated, just like the media, and you move on. It's a stepping stone.
Well, that for me though, and I think for a lot of us, that's a huge stepping stone.
It
That's a
is.
huge hurdle to get over. And for me, I know when my key moment, if you heard my interview, you know, and I said my key moment was with Alex Jones and realizing he was phony with the way he would attack 9/11, no planes and whatnot. Was there a moment for you where somebody you followed in the alternative media, you just realized they were total fraud? Like they did something crazy, like how Joe Rogan flipped on the moon landing type of thing, even though I know that wasn't it because it was way before for you.
Probably that moment didn't happen till much later when I started getting into the flat earth because that's such a polarizing subject. And I noticed so many of these people that I like loved and enjoyed and respected just totally like a big one for me is I don't know if I can remember his name. He's the creationist. Rob Skiba talks about him a lot.
Hoven.
Kent Hovind, yeah. Like he was huge for me growing up because there was a time that I wanted to be a creationist archaeologist. I wanted to go dig up dinosaur bones and I wanted to prove creation. I wanted to disprove evolution. And Kent Hovind was someone like I really thoroughly followed. And I loved his videos on dinosaurs. And I'm still not 100%. That's another thing that's different between me and even a lot of the community that I'm around now. I know a lot of people say dinosaurs don't never existed. But I don't think they existed as science says. I don't think there were nearly as many, different types of species and blah blah blah. And I don't think they were billions of years old, and I don't believe the original story as to how they went extinct. None of that. But I
Yeah, but you're
still
still not gonna just rule it out just because a group of people rule it out. And that's like why I wanted to have you on, because you're like me, open-minded. And like when we get more into the flat Earth stuff in this conversation, I'm gonna ask you about some of your theories on different things. Because like I know I have some theories like on the sun that are way different than the general, flat Earth consensus or whatever. So I think that's good that you have other thoughts like that, you know?
And the thing is my opinions change, my theories change. I kind of adjust myself when I get new information. I think we all should be that way. I don't think that means you're wishy-washy. I think that means you're learning. We should always be students, But like the dinosaur thing, for a very long time, I studied the Bible. I even went to school to study the Bible. Now, I don't bash people over the head with it, but there are some things in there that I like. They talk about fire-breathing dragons in the Bible, and they talk about long-neck, long-tailed creatures like a dinosaur. I mean, some people say we have found some, evidence of bones and such. Like I said, I don't believe the original rhetoric, but I do think that there is some evidence that, like I would call them dragons instead, not just dinosaurs, because mainstream called them that,
Okay,
you know.
yeah, because that already has a term set to it, and people think dinosaurs. I think you're saying they're 65 million years old, and anytime there's a label put on something, that's what happens. It's like you have to take the whole set of guidelines that people associate with, like.
Well, and look at the history books. I mean, it's an odd subject, but look at the history books. And there are so many stories of, people fighting dragons and all over the world. So I think that there's still some truth to it. But that's something that I wanted to be like when I was much younger. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a creationist archaeologist. And Kent Hovind was one of those people like I followed. That definitely hurt me. Like, but that a lot of the hurt from being disappointed in a lot of these speakers and like radio shows and stuff came probably closer to when I was like learning about the flat earth. But yeah, like Coast to Coast, like I said, Alex Jones. A big radio station I listened to for a while was called Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
I think I've heard it.
Yeah, for a
I never
couple
followed.
years.
I remember hearing it, but I never followed it.
Kind of like Flat Earth, where when you first get into it, you're like obsessed and you like can't get enough, and you're just waiting for the next show or the next, video to watch. I used to faithfully watch him for a while, and actually, he was the catalyst that brought me to the Flat Earth. Truth, because I actually used to have time where I worked. I would have a lot of downtime because I worked in an office by myself, and I would set the laptop up and I would listen to podcasts and radio shows. And Clyde Lewis had Crow 777 on. This was back like I don't remember if it was February of 2015 or closer to March or the end of March. But I always say I got into Flat Earth in March of 2015, because I can't remember the exact date. But Clyde Lewis had Crow 777 on, and he was going over his whole lunar, the
Luna
lunar
wave.
wave. Yep. And they called it Lunomaly, like a lunar anomaly. And I just thought that was so catchy, and I couldn't wait to watch it. And I'm like, what could he possibly be seeing on the moon? It's like, but it really, really intrigued me. And I mean, that almost hit me harder than once I got into Flat Earth, because I was like, what is he seeing? Like, there's.
That video is huge for me, and people hate me for it, but in my opinion, the moon isn't even solid, and I think the moon is some sort of projected light, and people hate that opinion, but that's just what I observe. And the only reason I would ever think it's something solid up there is because that's what I've been indoctrinated to believe.
And I have theories on what that lunar wave could be, and maybe I can go over that when we get more into the flat earth like mechanics and stuff. But not too long after Crow 777 was on, because then I started, that was in 2015, but I think he was into the lunar wave a couple years before that, at least 1 year. So I started looking on some of his back like videos and stuff, and then and then not soon after that, Clyde Lewis had Mark Sargent on. And no offense, Mark, if you're listening, but he was really like nobody. Nobody knew who he was, around March. This might have been April. once he came on.
Yeah.
And they didn't even really call it Flat Earth. The show's name was called This Geoid Earth. And then it had the picture of like Earth, you know, the picture, I don't know if NASA has it out, but it's a picture of Earth with none of the water on it. It just looks like a potato, like a rainbow potato.
Know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. So that was the picture on this episode. And I was like, that's interesting. Of course, I watched it. And Mark knows this because I've told him before, like it wasn't a very good interview. And it wasn't his fault. Like Clyde Lewis just didn't let him talk at all. Like he let
It's the
him
worst.
explain it.
Honestly, he's like, I can't listen to them because the hosts are so rude and they just step all over the guests, and it's like, what are you doing?
I would say that's also one of those points in my life where I was like, man, like I was disappointed. I'm like, why? Already that was so polarizing. I'm like, why aren't you letting this guy talk? I've heard you have people on here talk about the stupidest subjects, like crazy outlandish subjects, but you won't let wouldn't let Mark really talk that much. And then he had a lot of callers calling in and they were really rude. And I'm like, wow, I wasn't getting much information. But at some point, Mark gave out the info on Eric Dubé and his Atlantean conspiracy website. And I started looking into that. And again, I couldn't get enough because there was hardly anything out. He didn't
Yeah.
have
Oh, all
videos.
there
He
was at
didn't.
the time was all there was Matt and then Eric and then
Yeah.
Mark eventually. And then there was
Yep.
really no for a little bit. There was a
And
little just them for a while.
I don't even know if Mark might have just been starting his clues. I was
Yeah,
thinking
he started like
February.
late March. I think like March he started.
Yeah, or February or something. That's what kind of got him onto the show, but I don't remember listening to his clues. I didn't listen to him. I knew I kind of saw about Math Powerland, but and no offense to Math, but it kind of just sometimes someone's presentation turns you off a little bit. And I didn't watch his shows all the way through, like his videos. I didn't watch them till much later.
You certainly don't watch his live feeds now, I'm sure, because they're just terrible.
I've watched some of them. Oh my gosh. God love him because whew.
Rock
But
star.
yeah. Something, but no, I don't want to talk bad about him. He's still, he's
I
very,
didn't say anything bad. I'm just laughing, you know?
he's very eclectic, and it some people probably love that, and some people like I'm an anxious person, so sometimes when someone's a little bit too all over the place, it doesn't go well for me. But I did get into Eric Dubé's stuff just reading it because I think he did have his 200 proofs were part of it. Excuse me, on his Atlantean conspiracy website. So I got into reading this. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of reading, 200, you know, paragraphs.
That was
But
that
I,
video huge for me, the 200 proofs video. You
yeah,
know,
but
I
the,
had already been in it for a few months, but once I seen that, I mean, that kind of cemented it.
yeah, but I don't think that video came out for like another year. He just had the 200 proofs was like an article. It was just all reading.
I seen that. Maybe it was the article I seen.
I just know I it was a lot of reading and there was hardly anything else on there. There was no, I don't remember any links to anywhere else. And but then as I started really trying to dig, like I met and got into researching like Mark Knight and his channel, Wakey Wakey. And he had stuff from back in like 2014. So I could dig a little bit into his information. Dave
Oh, he
Moore, what's that?
Wakey Wakey had stuff that far back.
He just, well, I
I
don't
didn't.
know if he was quite as popular, but once I met, I wasn't into it in 2014, but once I met him just through social media, I started digging back into other stuff that, you know, he had just like blogs, I think, just stuff he had written.
Yeah.
Dave Moore or Dave Murphy or allegedly Dave or D Murphy 25. He has a lot of different names. I listened to his two-part series.
Those are
Who
really
else?
good.
Oh, really good. I still use those.
His
All
interview,
these guys I'm talking about.
yeah, that interview that he did on late night Macedonian TV, that's probably the best interview. I like that one. The interview that Jaron did on Higher Sides and the interview that Eric did on Higher Sides. Those are like really, really
Yep.
top notch.
David Weiss does some really good interviews too that are like
Yeah. Oh,
right to
the
the
interview
point.
the one he did with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That one's insanely good, and that I went and look, you know, looked at it on Jericho's thing where his people were, not on David's channel, to look
Yeah.
at the comments. And there were so many people giving positive comments and like were really open-minded to it. Like that interview was really good.
Yep, I agree. And sometimes, like, if you know someone that does just a good interview, even if it's like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, like I think that Dave's Allegedly, Dave's was only like 28 minutes or something, wasn't it? What they broke down?
I think it was like more like 45.
Oh, was it? There's one
Yeah.
that floats around that doesn't have any of the questions in it. It's just his answers because the
Yeah,
questions are
there's a
like in
cut version.
another.
Yeah, there's a cut version. There is the full one too.
And it's like, even just like that, it's not really a content video. There's no like graphics. It's just him giving answers. Like sometimes that kind of stuff is just so great to be able to share, you know, and start someone off. But I'm trying to think who else was like some of the
Well, you know
first.
what? You know when you mentioned how it doesn't have the graphics and stuff, and it's, but you know what? That's what's great about Flat Earth is there's different people with all different styles. So for some people, you do need the graphics in the presentation, and you have people like ODD, for instance, who puts out really high quality videos that are really good for beginners, I think. There's a little bit of
I agree.
everything. And then Eric will come out with, you know, tons of points, but it's really kind of dry, you know?
But for
And
me, like some of those videos, like, okay, if I have time to sit and actually watch all the graphics, and that's great. But a lot of times I'm like doing other stuff or I'm driving. So, like, the audio is great too. So it just depends. People can pick and choose. But as I started getting into some of these other, you know, fellas making these videos, I started realizing that there were more people looking into this, and I didn't even cross my mind to maybe look on Facebook to see if there were other people like looking into Flat Earth. And then I started realizing, I guess I did a search, or maybe one of these fellas were like, "Hey, maybe you should join, you know, one or two of these groups," because there was just a couple groups, you know, back then. I think I started getting involved in Facebook groups around like June of 2015. Before that, it was like lonely, you know, and just watching videos and trying to make connections. But so June to like, I think it was October of 2015, I was just getting involved in other people's groups. And then
So
I decided.
did you find out about Apollo before Flat Earth? Or you found out because you became a Flat Earther and then found out about everything being fake?
I wouldn't say I researched like the moon landings and such before Flat Earth quite as in detail, but I never thought we went to the moon. And I but the, what is it, the Challenger that exploded, like that rocked my world, like whenever I found out about that once I got into Flat Earth. But the moon landing, growing up as a kid, I never thought that looked like there's any way possible that was real. Like there's no
Look at the
way.
Luna Lander, man. It gets brought up every show. We might as well talk about it.
But I can't.
Would you let your precious love dog, would you let your dog sleep in that thing to stay out of a light drizzle?
No, never. What is someone, what is it? I think it's Flat Earth Asshole calls it a tweaker shelter or whatever. It looks like that. But
It really
no,
does.
that never made sense to me. I remember being, this was also when I was 8. I remember being in second grade and questioning my teachers about how is it that we're spinning? And I remember one of the teachers saying something like, if the earth ever stops spinning, that we would be sucked into the sun's gravitational pull and we would all incinerate. And we wouldn't even know what happened. We just all disappear. And I was terrified. Like, I went home and cried to my mom, and I'm like, how is that even possible? And she said something spiritual and religious that made me feel a little bit better about it. You know, God would never let that happen, you know? Like, but it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why is it such a fragile system like that? I remember thinking that in elementary school, there's just absolutely no way we're spinning, and that
Well,
that's
here's
what's stopping
the
us
thing
from going into the sun and stuff.
part of the thing about how they indoctrinate us is, yeah, they indoctrinate us with the globe and all this stuff in the media, and ever since you're a baby with the globe in the classroom, like all that. But when it comes to the, as far as the speed we're spinning or the Earth's curvature, you never heard these numbers when you were in school. Like they don't even put fake numbers to you because they might trigger something in your head. Like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour? What are you talking about?
I don't remember ever realizing that number when I was little. I just remember thinking, how am I spinning and how do I not feel it? Like, I literally remember that going through my head. Like, how, like, if I stand still, can I really concentrate? Can I feel this? But yeah, none of that made sense when I was little. It all makes sense now, though, as I've gotten older, because it's
Is
not
there
true.
a, what would you be your biggest flat earth proofs be if you can maybe say, let's name three of them? Like, what are your big ones or the ones that you bring up to people the most because you feel they have the most impact and people can kind of resonate with it? What do you like to go to?
I definitely look at water. I mean, that's a big one for a lot of people, but there's just even that kind of blew my mind when I started getting into the research. I'm like, how did I never think of this before? Like, what is it? 70% of Earth is covered in water. And how is that? We know that it big bodies of water lay level. Like they find their level. We see that all the time. I grew up around the ocean when I was little. I saw that all the time. So to me, that's a huge one. I look at really try to look at really organic proofs, something like as simple as water. To me, you can see that when you look out over the ocean, like I've climbed lighthouses before. I don't know if you've ever done that. They're like 300 feet up.
I did, yeah, actually.
And I mean, you can look, all around you and you see everything's just completely level. You're not seeing any kind of bend, curvature, nothing.
Well, lighthouses wouldn't even work on a globe. They'd work for a couple miles. They'd be pointless, basically.
Correct. Yeah,
A
not the
light,
fact that just
right?
climbing up them.
A light would literally just go over the boat. I
Yeah.
don't know if people get that. I love that one. Like, yo, the light would just go over the boat.
That's so funny. We laugh about it now, but these are the kind of things that like just it like why did we ever think that? I guess I never really stopped
Well,
to
you know,
think about it too hard,
think that people would lie to you on such a level. That's why everybody has that awakening moment, and it's like a switch, and then you just start to question everything. And then if it went a few years after you awoke and it was brought up to you and you didn't see it, then it'd be like, oh, why didn't I see that? But you know why you didn't see it. You didn't have your eyes open.
Right. And I think also they stifled it. I mean, in school, they really stifle those kinds of thoughts, and getting acting like you're open-minded at all. But I would also say, and I know Rob Skiba says this, like we're moving the goalpost if we start looking into the sky to prove flat Earth. And I understand that. But another really organic thing that I really got into where it made sense to me, somebody else might not make sense to them, but to me, when I started really looking in up at the sky, like doing moon photography and observing the sun, I did a lot of like time lapses of crepuscular sun rays and seeing that there's just no possible way that the sun is 93 million miles away. And to me, if they're lying about that, they're lying about a lot of stuff. And also I've done videos on comparing like the size of the sun and the moon. And just taking moon photography when you're looking at these things, and I was really observing like how the sun and the moon were actually cycling above us. Like, there's just no way in my mind that I can fathom rationalizing that we're spinning and then we're cycling around the sun and that the moon's going around us and that's why we see them move. To me, like, it's so simple. The sun and the moon are cycling above us and they're similar size. Like, it doesn't take a genius to see that. I mean, those are very easy things for me to observe. And I've watched them for, it'll be 4 years in March. So it's been a long time observing these things. So to me, so water finding its level, and then yes, observing the skies when you're looking at the sun and the moon, because like I said, what I observe and what I've documented is absolutely nowhere near what I've been told. So to me, that sparks a red flag and that's a lie. So that to me is a proof that we've been lied to about the shape as well, because there's no way it works on a spinning ball. And another proof that I really liked, and I wanted to do a video on this, but I only did it on part of it, is the way our bodies actually work. Our bodies are created to be on a stationary plane. Like the way our eyes move like gyroscopes and the way our ears work. Now, I didn't do a video on our eyes working like a gyroscope because right before I was actually going to put the video together, I did a search and someone else had already done something similar, and I didn't want to step on someone's toes. So I just did a video on how the workings of our inner ear are and how they literally our heads and our ears
It was off balance.
to keep us balanced. I mean, yes, we move around and then our body knows we're moving. But when we're stationary, you're stationary. If the earth was moving, you would know. Our ears, the inside of our ears literally work like a three-way bubble level. To keep you balanced so that you're not dizzy. I mean, and you would know their ears are created so that you can feel just the tiniest little bit of movement. And the same way with the eyes, they work like a gyroscope. Like you can move your head back and forth all over the place, but what you're looking at stays, you can see that it's level in front of you. You're not looking at things sideways when you move your head. Do you know what I mean? So to
Exactly.
me, that's pretty incredible that our bodies were created to always come back to a stationary balance.
I like that. That's a
Yeah.
really good one. I have heard like one other person say it that I know, but it's really something that's not really ever talked about, you know? I really
Yeah.
like that.
I have the
So
video on the inner ears, but the eyes working like a gyroscope, I never did a video on. And I can't remember who actually did it, but I know there's one out there.
Well, so everybody knows if you just go to the, under the video where you hit the see more button to read the show notes, your link's in there to your YouTube channel and
Okay,
Facebook.
cool.
So
Thank
everybody in
you.
the chat, just remember if you ask, hey, where's her channel? It's right in the show notes. So just go down in the show notes and grab it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And then I'll throw it on the end of the video so it pops up when people are watching it after. But okay, so like I have different ideas on flat Earth. We all, especially where you've been in it for so long, I've been in it for so long. I mean, we all know amongst us that there's no curve, there's no spin. I understand we still have to prove this to the other side. We still have to show new people. But, we also progress the conversation and have our own theories about some of the other things and some of my thoughts on how close the moon are. It's totally different than the general flat Earth consensus. What are some of your theories on some topics that you would say you disagree with what, a lot of people, like you have your own kind of, whether it be the sun, the moon, how tides work. Work, anything, like where you're a little different than most, you think.
Well, I actually have a pretty in-depth theory on Earth working like a terrarium, and I can explain that. But there are some things like I, and no offense, because I listened to your interview with yourself. Like there are some things out there, like people do photography of the sun, and they say, "Oh, the sun is like the clouds are behind the sun," and doing some amateur photography on the side. I notice that that's just out of focus. You know what I mean? The sun is so bright. Like, you can do that with a flame or a flashlight. Like, you can do that. I can go outside when the sun is exiting, that's what I call it, and trying to get pictures of like a silhouetted tree. And if I don't focus that completely right, the tree branches look like they're behind the sun, or the sun looks like it's in front of the tree. But that's because you're not focusing the camera right. You know what I mean? I don't know how far away the sun and the moon is, but they're not 30 to 50,000 feet away where they're within the clouds. There's videos out there, like there's a really incredible video from a plane where there's some like ripply clouds and the sun. You have to understand like the perspective. Like, we tell everybody the sun isn't setting, it's moving away. So it's going to look like it's going down. But like from a plane, as the sun has exited, it's gotten very far away, and that bright red orange sun looks like it's under the clouds in this video. People have probably seen it.
I know the video.
And people are like, "Oh my gosh, the clouds are, the sun is below the clouds." No. The sun is just exiting, and it's pretty far away, and that's also why you're seeing it so red, because the farther the sun gets away, and you're looking at that sun through like atmospheric lensing and atmospheric pollution, then it's going to change its color. So you're obviously looking at the sun through a bunch of cloud cover and any other moisture that's in there, and it will change the color. That's why we also see when the sun exits and the moon exits, or it enters our line of vision, if there's a lot of moisture closer to Earth, you see it be that blood red color, like they call it a blood moon. Because once that sun or that moon gets close enough to you, it's not red anymore. It's because it's gotten close enough to you that you're not looking through layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of atmospheric lensing and pollution and things like that that are closer to the ground. So stuff like that, like, I have an issue with. I'm not gonna like condemn anybody, but I also don't like that to be spread around, because I'm like, that makes us look a little silly. Things like that. I also see that just because of doing moon photography, like, and please don't take this the wrong way. When you say about the moon looking like it could be see-through, because you can see, like during the day when we see the moon, like 14 days out of its cycle, it looks like the what you want to call craters, or the shadowed parts, or the darker parts look like the blue color in the sky. But if you really zoom in on it close enough, it's not the same color. You know what I mean? Although, on the flip side, I've seen there's one picture at least floating around out there where someone got a star in the phased part of the moon. So not the part of the moon that's actually showing, the phased part where it's darker. And I don't know how to explain that either. But I know that what I see when I look through my camera, I'm not seeing that the moon, that you're seeing the blue sky through the moon. You know what I mean? But I've also thought, what if, like, What if that star is just closer to us than the moon? And it just went in front of the moon, and that's why people saw it. You know what I mean? Like they're
Could be.
possibly a lot closer than we think.
Yeah,
And I think
that's
some of them do occult the moon and go in front and behind, you know? I don't know. There's some things like that that I differ with some people. There are days that I flip-flop on my theory as far as
Oh
is the
yeah, me and Paul were talking about it like last week on my show. We go back and forth on our ideas on the sun all the time. Like,
Yeah. But honestly, I think I don't mind that. And if you're even going to share things like that, I would probably put out a disclaimer, like,
what we
I
do.
don't
Yeah.
know if this is true.
Well,
But
it's okay
check
to
this out. This is
speculate.
my, yeah.
It as such. That's what I tell people. Speculation's good when it's stated as such, because that's how we progress. Conversation. You just tell people, hey, we're not saying this is fact.
Right. This is my theory, or this is an opinion. And it may change. Like I said before, like I'm open to absorbing new knowledge and changing my opinion. And to others who are watching, if that resonates with them and they've observed the same thing, then that will make sense to them. And that's why, I've gotten into sharing and observing things and documenting things, because to some people they're going to be like, "Oh my gosh, I thought the same thing. I've just never been able to like document it or see it." And they appreciate that, you know? But I'm trying to think of some other things that I differ. The dinosaur thing, which I mentioned earlier, I don't feel the same way. I don't always feel the same way about how people talk about the sun and the moon definitely have a relationship. And there's like, I don't want to say that I think that the moon is reflecting the sun's light, but it definitely is mirroring of some sort, maybe the energy of whatever it is off that sun. I mean, the phasing shows it. When the moon is full, it is 180 degrees opposite of the sun. And there's no, like, you can't put that out of your mind. You know what I mean? So there's definitely, whether or not it's absorbing energy, like when it phases and it's closest to the sun, when it is a new moon and it's completely dark, that it's out of energy, and once it passes it, it's absorbing energy and recharging, and then it's fully charged when it's opposite of the sun.
I kind of think that the sun kind of powers like that with the moon, but I also I am, this is my opinion, like I say, I speculate. I think that Polaris might be the key to it, and that might be where the sun is getting its energy.
I mean, it
So
could be. There's so much we don't know, which is frustrating but also exciting because I love learning. And then this last year, I've really been pretty complacent and I've taken a step back. I've done some videos here and there. I really need to get my inspiration back and get back into getting out there and learning, like learning new things so I can share with people. But it can be very exciting, just trying to figure it all out. It's like
yeah.
never ending.
Oh, it's never ending. And if you think people, that's why I always tell people, hey, it's okay that we disagree or that we make mistakes. Mistakes are fine as long as you admit them and correct them and move forward. And you tell people, hey, this is why I was wrong here, and this is what I think now. There's nothing wrong with mistakes. And then when we've been lied to for personally me for 40 years, and personally and other people for thousands of years, and the indoctrination that they have, the control, the media, NASA, I mean, they're holding all the cards. To think after from realizing this 4 years ago to now that we're gonna have all this shit figured out, I mean, that's quite a bold idea. Of course, we're gonna have differing opinions, and we should all be sharing our ideas. And I might have a piece of the puzzle, you might have a piece, and then together they might click. Maybe your idea on the sun or the moon or tides might work with something that I've been trying to figure out. Or you got any opinion on the tides? I'm not really sure about the tides. What do you think? Electromagnetic?
I
You
have
think clean in the water and the pull in the moon because of that? Like,
I have some theories. They're kind of fragmented, and I can share a little bit of that. I'm actually going to start with something that sounds like it doesn't make sense, but before I do that, I wanted to comment on what you're just saying, because I that's why, and this is what, and we've talked about the community before about like some of the issues with it, but I don't think there should be no reason why people shouldn't be motivated to learn and share their thoughts and put it out there, just like what you just said, because you never know when someone out there is going to be like, "Oh my gosh, what you just said clicked with me, and it makes total sense for the theory that I've had, and that was the missing piece, or whatever." And that's why we should be able to share without condemnation and like judgment. There was a time where it was the community was a little bit more like that, and now, and it's not quite as much like that anymore, but I hope we
Yes.
can get back to that where we're not afraid to share. We're not afraid to all do, everybody should do the same experiments that they want. Like, it doesn't matter who did it first, you know, everybody should do it.
Oh, I have
Somebody's going
that
to come out.
and I hate that, and I have
Me
that problem.
too.
People want credit for they did this and they did that. Yeah, like if you like took your time and scripted out a video and did a documentary, you'll get credit for your documentary. But don't say you discovered something by something that's already been there and
Yeah.
people have just because you documented it. Like,
Yeah.
drives me crazy.
Yeah. But okay, so this is, I'll share a couple little things that I thought about. So for a while, I took a break from Flat Earth as far as making videos. I still was involved in Facebook. I can't get away from that. But I, for a while there, I was just studying a little bit of like geological things going on Earth, including the Kilauea volcano was erupting on the Big Island of Hawaii. So I was into that for I still, you know, watch it, but for like 4 months straight, I was like really gung ho on this. And I noticed from a flat Earth standpoint that basically, in a nutshell, Kilauea volcano had a lava lake in the middle of it, and they had earthquakes. The lava lake drained like 2,000 feet. All that lava came out 20 miles away in a line of fissures, like 23 fissures exploded. And these fissures, you know, it was literally like exploding lava up into the sky, and it would create like a cinder cone around, look like little mini volcanoes. But I watched this live for a really long time. I mean, like day and night, it was 24/7, you know, live video. And what I noticed was funny because I'm on there, I'm like, I'm not a flat earther. Nobody knows who I am. And I could just kind of like pretend this doesn't exist for a couple minutes. But I'm noticing people on there, they're like, why does it get so much stronger? These fissures would literally spray twice as high when it was nighttime. And everyone was like, oh, that's because of the gravitational pull of the moon. And I'm like, we've been watching this for 4 months. Nobody seems to understand on here that the moon is only out at night for like 14 days of the month. What is happening the other 14 days? Because the moon's like a tiny little sliver. You know what I mean? It's not as strong. And it's out during the day because its cycling is different, you know? So it was funny. I'm thinking these thoughts in my head. Well, what I kind of came to the conclusion of is it seemed like the moon had nothing to do with the strength of the lava exploding. It actually seemed more like the sun suppressed it while the sun was close to it. You know, the sun was cycling and it was daylight. And as the sun moved away, it was able to like explode stronger. Do you know what I mean? I was like, is the sun having more to do with the tides and also like the power of suppressing the lava? Is it doing the same thing with the salt water? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just something I was kind of like amazed at, that this is what we're actually observing, that when that sun exits, because in our world, the sun is close and it gets close when it's, people say when it's rising, but I say entering our line of vision, and then it goes farther away when it's, you know, exiting or it's setting, like the real world says it. And
The
you could,
real world, I wouldn't
yeah.
call it the real
Well,
world.
you know what I mean? It's more like the real world on MTV. It's terrible.
Yeah,
So,
that's their own little fantasy land that they're living in.
yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Like the
it's
fake world.
so let me ask you, and we're gonna come right back to the flat earth too, because we still got a lot to talk about. And then if you don't mind, we'll take some questions and calls if anybody wants to call in. But I want to ask you about a few other topics that I know you've talked about. What about giant trees? Giant trees, no forests on flat Earth, and giants themselves. What's your idea on all this stuff?
Yep. Well, do we have time or do we have to go on a break?
We can go on a break if you need to right now. I'm going to take a break in like 15 minutes just to.
Oh, okay. Well, no, can I take that 15 minutes and the tides, the no forest on flat Earth, all that kind of incorporates into my theory I have on Earth acting like a giant terrarium. Can I just share that real quick?
Of
Okay.
course. No, then we'll
So,
take a quick break and we'll come back. We're just
okay.
gonna play it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sounds good. So like I said, all those topics you just mentioned, including talking about like the tides and such, I was trying to remember this guy's name whenever I was working and stuff today. Probably almost 2 years ago or a year and a half, maybe, I was interviewed by a gentleman named Robert, and I can't remember his last name, and I feel bad. He's Doomweaver on YouTube, and he was a plumber in Antarctica, and he lived there for 13 months. And as he was sharing on different interviews, he was explaining to me what Antarctica was like. And I got to thinking, because he's explaining like Antarctica, which many of us believe is like the ice wall, it's the barrier, it's what holds the oceans in. Some people don't believe that, but I kind of adhere to that theory. And he's telling me how the ice in Antarctica is like the most crystal clear, purest distilled water like you'll ever find anywhere. And it really got the ball rolling as far as my thought process on like, how is that so clean, crystal clear, like distilled water? Like, how is that happening when it's holding in the salt waters of the earth, you know? So I started thinking about how, okay, we know that the sun is hot. We can feel that. We've done a lot of experiments on the moon giving out its own light and that it's cooling. And if you've ever looked at like a terrarium, terrariums actually condense whenever there's hot and cold, different temperatures. It'll create rain. They call it rain, but really all it is like condensing on the inside of that bubble. If you adhere to the theory that there's some kind of firmament up above, there's some kind of hard barrier, you know, as the sun and the moon cycle, hot and cold, are they creating condensation on the inside of this dome or firmament walls? And as it builds up, if you ever watched this sort of thing, or even like when rainwater runs down your like windshield when it's raining, and as it gathers, then it drips down. You know, as it rains more, it drips down your windshield if you're not using your wipers. Same way in a terrarium, as that water gets heavier and it gathers, it drips down the side of the walls. So what if the Antarctica ice barrier is this pure distilled water because Earth is acting like a giant distillery? You know,
Makes a lot of, oh, that
the
makes.
hot. Well, I've video logged about this, but it didn't really catch on. And so the hot and the cold, or the sun and the moon as it cycles, is creating this condensation, which is feeding the natural barrier that keeps the saltwater oceans in. But part of that theory is, what if we are seeing that water running down the barrier? Like when we have meteor showers, not when we have like a shooting star, that's different because that's few and far between and they're very colorful. But when we have meteor showers, we can predict them. And it's a lot of them at one time and they're always coming. Like everyone says, like we live on a flat earth because we never see meteor showers go from like the plane up. We always see them come from the top down. Well, what if what we're seeing with meteor showers happen, and the reason we can predict them is because somebody out there understands that maybe that is condensation and they can tell when it's going to build up because it's always been the same way. As the water drips down the dome, if you've ever done any studies on what's called sonoluminescence, which we talk about like when we're studying the stars, you can actually take frequency and you can levitate a drop of water. And when also, when
I can
water
actually,
is a
I've seen them levitate stones with frequency, honestly.
and frogs and stuff, yeah, like weird, all kinds of stuff. But you've also seen the sonoluminescence where water is they take a frequency and affect that water droplet and it creates a little burst of light. So, you know, if you ever like run your finger around like a wine glass and it creates music and stuff, and like it's a frequency. So when this water is dripping down the inside of this firmament walls, is it creating a little spark of light as it creates a frequency and it runs down? You know, I don't know. This is all like a theory that I came up with. The terrarium Earth makes sense to me. I think at one point that we did have huge giant trees. I really think we did. I mean, I don't think every mesa and plateau that we see that looks like it's cut off was a giant tree, but I think that there's a very large possibility that we had some very big trees. And if you look at it biblically, it says it in there that humans lived longer, that we had giants in those days. And it would also support the theory of having dragons and a dinosaur type creature because lizards and reptiles grow forever. Like, unless they die of natural causes, they don't stop growing. So, if they're growing longer and they're in a super oxygenated environment because of it being a firmament and
And the huge
huge trees, correct. And if we have bigger creatures like these dinosaurs, dragons, and these giants, they're also creating larger, copious amounts of carbon dioxide, which would feed larger plant life. So it makes sense to me that originally at one point in time there's probably a lot more moisture in the air and a lot more condensation going on, and that would feed and create this barrier that we have now, which is Antarctica.
This is
So
the stuff with the giants and stuff. The stuff you're saying is exactly what we have been saying too. And we did a show on it like a month ago, maybe a month and a half. And I'll take it one step farther, and I'm gonna save some of it for after the break real quick. But I think the trees might have even been almost like outposts for our collective consciousness. And I wanted to get into some thoughts on what your thoughts on our collective consciousness are, like how powerful you think that is. Do you think we are in the midst of a great awakening, like as I talk about a lot? I mean, we don't even have to wait. I mean, we can address that whenever you're ready.
I mean, we could take a break if you want. I think about that a little bit because that's deep. But yeah, I have some thoughts on those sorts of things.
All right, why don't we take a break real quick? All right,
Okay.
I just get a drink, run to the bathroom. So we're
Right
gonna
on.
play one song, guys. We'll be right back after the song. When we get back, 978-435-0006. I'll put it in the chat. You can call in, and I'll try and, keep an eye on the chat the best I can for any questions. Okay, so we'll be right back. You listen to Dose of Reality, Brian Stavely, Carly Sunshine Medrano. This is My Awakening, interview number 16, and just stick with us. We'll be right back.
There's this point that we all come to where you want to really, really, really question things. Wow. But in our society, if you're frowned upon when you ask. You're frowned upon when you want to learn more knowledge about something that makes someone else feel uncomfortable.
Neil deGrasse can't debate these facts if he wanted to. Earth is flat and stationary, kids, that means it doesn't move. When confronted with these proofs, liars get uncomfortable. Cause it's true that the truth can make a liar lose his cool. When Kyrie Irving comes to school, science teachers run away. Flat Earth's got 200 proofs that they're afraid to debate. When he says it to their face that their NASA pics are fake, the expressions that they make always make my day. Go, NASA's been tricking us all. Gravity isn't a law. Ha, ha, your whole reality's flawed. Thinking you spin on a ball. But, yeah, it isn't your fault. You just repeat what you're taught. Repeating and teaching your students this small. And they evolve somehow out of nothing at all. Have you ever really questioned the nonsense that you were teaching, or the superstitious pseudoscience shit you're repeating, like we're from a big bang, our ancestors are algae, what a curves to the earth thanks to the magic of gravity, planes flying straight lines, what a lies in straight lines, don't horizon lines form horizontal straight lines, no matter how high, there's never a curve. Geeking. Observe it for yourselves. Look in the flat earth. Neil deGrasse can't debate these facts if he wanted to. Earth is flat and stationary, kids, that means it doesn't move. When confronted with these proofs, liars get uncomfortable. Aww. Cause it's true that the truth can make a liar lose his cool. When Kyrie Irving comes to school, science teachers run away. Flat Earth's got 200 proofs that they're afraid to debate. When he says it to their face, that their NASA pics are fake. The expressions that they make always make my day. Hey, when I first heard that Kyrie Irving was a flat earther,
Kyrie.
I was thinking, what the hell is my dude smoking? Then I listened to his interview, and I knew he wasn't joking. Because a lot of the stuff that he said made sense. And I said, I gotta debunk this. Epic fail. Turns out the Earth's flat, still in stationary, and we're living on a plane that likely isn't planetary.
Yeah.
Gravity's a lie. Stars are lights in the sky. Water always lies level, no matter how high. Y'all can make jokes, laughing on your fake globes. Be it deceived about the basics, the place you call home, the reason you're created, the way you ought to go. If you stop asking the questions, how will you ever know? And you'll never get a message you're not ready to receive. I don't need you to believe me, I'm just here to plant the seed that the big global conspiracy is that the Earth's flat. Do your own research, you'll never go back. Neil deGrasse can't debate these facts if he wanted to. Earth is flat and stationary, kids, that means it doesn't move. When confronted with these proofs, liars get uncomfortable. Cause it's true that the truth can make a liar lose his cool. When Kyrie Irving comes to school, science teachers run away. Flat Earth's got 200 proofs that they're afraid to debate. When he says it to their face, that their NASA pics are fake. The expressions that they make always make my day. Alright, Neil, do a little research on the topics discussed today. Come back and let's have a debate.
You've never seen me debate anybody on any subject ever. There's no YouTube video of me debating anybody. It's just not what I do.
Come on.
I have a very firm belief that what they're putting out in front of us is there for a reason. It just depends on whether you want to believe in the truth or not. Do you believe that the Earth is round?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You believe the Earth is round?
Yes, but I heard that there was.
There's no new one. There is no new one.
Okay, I heard some crazy.
Do you believe that we are crazy?
Ben Diggles, this is a shout out to you. He came to us and he listens to Super Conspiracy.
Yes.
This is
not
even the Earth is flat.
No, the Earth is
flat.
Oh, here we go.
Everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality. Your host, Brian Stavely. Today, I'm joined by Kylie Sunshine Medrano as we are doing My Awakening, episode number 16. Kylie, are you back? And she must still be on break, but that's okay.
I'm back. I'm back. I've got to turn my camera back on. There we go. Oh,
good. All good. I didn't mean to throw you a curveball at the end there. I wanted to make sure I didn't forget to ask you about consciousness and stuff. But
no, that's okay.
You still want to touch on the terrarium theory before? I didn't want to cut you off shortly.
That's okay. I mean, there's much more to it, but I could go on about it for a long time. But just to touch on like the tides, and a lot of other people have said this, that I definitely believe that they are electromagnetic in some sort of way, because it's only affecting salt water, you know. And I have other theories, but I definitely think it's electric in the way it works. Now, is it more the sun that's creating them versus the moon? Like mainstream science tells us it's the moon. I don't know. Like I said, with the whole lava being affected more by the sun from my observations, which is many people don't even get to see, you know, it could be more like the sun is involved more in the tides than the moon. But I'd have to look into that a little bit more. I also think like the Earth has like a breathing mechanism, and that's also why we have some tides, you know. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't do something like that, large bodies of water would just, I think they would just break things up. Like it has to have some kind of give and take, kind of like the wind moves a tree. If the tree didn't sway in the wind, it would just break. You know what I mean? So I think that also has something to do with it.
The Earth literally is alive. It has to be, because how else is it going to grow life out of it?
Right. But the next topic, as far as thinking about, do you want to say the question one more time and then I'll start with the consciousness and stuff?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, because like consciousness was something I've never even thought of until like, you know, the last few years. And now I think it's a huge, I honestly think, never mind just Flat Earth, never mind just 9/11. I mean, they're all part of all these things are all part of the puzzle. I think the thing they're scared of the most is us realizing our potential and us all connecting with each other with our collective consciousness. And I think that as a whole, it's awakening. I see periods of time where it accelerates, and I feel like we're feeding off of each other. And I think it's a really powerful weapon. And I have other theories too that maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't. I think that the actual main agenda for chemtrails is to mass things in the sky and to impede our collective consciousness with some sort of things that they're spraying. What do you think about?
I heard you say that, and I agree with you very much so, the chemtrails. But I'll talk about the collective consciousness first. And I've mentioned this in another show I did with Patricia Steer, where she was asking some really deep questions on a panel, and I just love that kind of stuff. Sometimes you're kind of caught off guard, and you're like, oh my gosh, what, you know, that's a deep question, and do I even want to commit to an answer live, you know, because I might change my mind how I feel about it as soon as I get off the phone. But As far as our potential is concerned, I talk about that quite a lot, that part of the Flat Earth awakening, if you want to call it, has a lot to do with us realizing our human potential. And what I see a lot in the community where people are attacking each other is us just falling back into what I want to say, like a globe Earth mentality, because you're not realizing how important we are to each other. Like the potential we have as human beings to connect with each other and be this like massive force against evil is just astronomical, to use a funny word. But I've done a little studying into things like, you know, I think at one point in time, the human body and the humans had gifts, and we were able to do things like healing, and we could use things like telepathy and telekinesis and things like that. I feel like we are such a shred of what we used to be. And I do think that part of that is the way the world has changed so much, Earth in general, as a plane. You know, when Earth was acting more like a terrarium and had a super oxygenated environment, I guarantee we were healthier. and our human body's potential was probably much stronger. I mean, I think that's why biblically, and even in other extra biblical texts, people lived longer. You know what I mean? But I also think that I think reason why we all struggle so much is that deep down inside, we realize that we are so much more than just this flesh body, and that we're trying to get back to what we should be, which is just like a spiritual being. I know it sounds, to some people that might sound hokey, but I think that we are just totally lost in these bodies. And those of us that get it a little bit better are realizing that this is, like I said, we're just a shred of what we should be.
Can I flash back to something you said, your biggest moment, your big awakening moment when you were 8 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. Did that put something over you that made you realize, like, there's a lot more to this whole physical, there's a lot more than this whole physical existence we're presented? Because that kind of ties into this.
Absolutely. Like, that's why, it does tie into it. That's why I talk about it. I know some people think it's just absolutely crazy, but it does tie into this. I mean, it ties into the whole idea of the shape of the Earth and that we're not a planet and there's not other planets where other creatures live, but it also ties into the spiritual aspect of it, and that even that creature looked at me and knew that I had potential, and it was scared. I was a threat. And that's why it was so irritated with me and upset that it couldn't hurt me and that I was protected. But yes, when something like that happens to you, it doesn't matter how old you are, but at 8 years old, I was like, this is something that happens to people in a scary movie. How does this real life, you know? And you go through all these thoughts, like almost like survivor's guilt, like, okay, this terrible, and there's a lot of terrible things that have happened in my life. And if you go on my video log, I have other video logs about some things I've gone through, supernatural and also just earthly terrible things. But you have like a type of survivor's guilt where you say, okay, well, how did this terrible thing happen to me and I survived it? And that's a struggle. Like, why was I chosen to go through this? And now it's like a curse on me because now I feel so different. Like, it opened my eyes to how things are,
now are you
different
at the point
in this world.
You realize it's not a curse on you and you're just able to be more perceptive to things?
Well, I would say actually almost the opposite. When I was younger, I maybe didn't kind of totally grasp that. And now as I've gotten older, maybe because we care more about what others think, you know what I mean? And plus when I was little, I didn't tell a lot of people. I just had it in my own head, you know what I mean? And there was a lot of other distractions going on when I was younger that, and maybe that's why these things happened in my life, but a lot of other bad distractions happened that stopped me from really fully maybe, you know, researching those sorts of things or getting into it. But I think it might almost get harder the older I get, the more I learn, because the more I realize how separated I am from other people, you know, and the rest of the world. But that doesn't mean, I know that sounds like such a negative to anybody out there, you know, maybe listening to this that is new as far as their eyes opening to how different the world is. Don't let that hold you back, because I wouldn't trade it for anything in this world, what I've gone through. Like, it's made me a very strong person. So I can't imagine not have going through what I've gone through and then realizing this information. It would it would make me crazy. You know what I mean? So I think everything that's happened to me since I was 8 years old has prepared me and brought me to this level where I can understand these sorts of things, like the earth is flat, you know, and to be able to learn and teach others about it and share.
How has your awakening, all topics that we talked about considered, and that obviously changes you as a person on the inside, the way you obviously act around people and the way you do things. How has it gone with you in your personal life with being the, like, I'm the black sheep of the family type of thing? Have you gotten through to loved ones? Have you gotten through to your parents, kids? How's that gone? Has it been rough? Has it been good?
Well, I only have my mom left now, and my mom actually took it really, really hard. So we talk about a little bit here and there. She's actually very much a devout Christian, but whenever I explain to her about, I mean, I've talked to her about a lot of things. She knows about a lot of things that I've researched, and she's pretty open to it. But when it came to the subject of the earth being flat, which is just crazy, like, why is that so hard for people to, you know, take in?
That's why I did a Apollo moon hoax video, a short video for me, like 40 minutes last week. And I made sure I didn't include the words flat earth because I just wanted to the Apollo crowd to get the people to look at that. The people moon landing. Because, like you said, the flat earth is so triggered. So she got totally triggered by it.
She was like, what? At first she was like, I remember explaining it to her because I was so excited. When you learn something new and you're like, certainly people are going to get it like I did, you know. You want to like throw up the information to them and that's what I always say, like, oh man, I threw up all over them and now they don't get it. But you know, I said this to her and at first she was kind of giggling and almost like manic about it. And then she just got hysterical, like cried.
Really? Cause
my mom, like I said, is a very strong Christian. And she was like, if this has been true, why hasn't God told me? And it's like, she took it personally, like God had kept it from her if it was true. And so her reaction was to say, what's that?
I said God didn't tell her about the globe either, though.
Exactly. Well, she just took it very personally, and I felt bad then afterwards, but and she had a very, very harsh reaction after that. And I won't go into all that, but she really, really it hit her so bad, like depression. And now we've gone past it, but she doesn't really like me talking about it at all. My dad is not around anymore, and he was a Navy man, and he was more open-minded to things like the Illuminati and the military-industrial complex being terrible because he was involved in it. He knew stuff he shouldn't have. And I like to think about every day that if he was around, that him and I would talk and he would understand it. Because being in the Navy, he was a signalman. So, like, he was on the top of these big ships, like, signaling to other ships. Like, how would you be able to do that?
Yeah, he
right. would know if there was. Exactly. So, and he was out in the ocean all the time. He saw that it was level, but I don't know because he's gone. But I like to think that he would get it. Friends, like a lot of my friends know. I mean, I'm public with everything. All my friends know, but only a couple of them will talk about it a little bit. Some of them have been very open-minded to it. Some of them I've lost and treat me differently because of it. A couple of my closer girlfriends, some of them question it, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but then it's scary to get into it too much. And some of them are very just tolerant. Like they'll ask me about like last year when I went to the conference and was a speaker, like they thought that was really cool. Like once it was almost like you tell them you're doing an interview or you tell them you're speaking on stage. They're like, wow, this is like really legit. You know, it's not like you're just kind of playing around. So that kind of made it a little easier. And they're open to the fact that I study it, so it's not quite as odd. But still, I still get together with friends, and if any of my friends are listening, I'm sorry, but I still feel, and you probably feel the same way, like much like an outcast, because it doesn't matter where we are, what we do, the conversation is always turns to politics or the president, or I'm sick with this, and I'm taking this medication, and I'm going to the doctor for this, and
or something with NASA comes on the TV, everybody turns around.
Or worshiping the flag and worshiping the police and the military. And I'm like, it's heartbreaking because that's when I really feel like, oh, I just feel like I don't belong here. I have to like fake it or just be quiet. You know, I don't fake it, but I just be quiet. People get angry.
I feel like I'm going in and I don't like to be around people much because I feel like I have to have these fake conversations or just sit there and keep my mouth shut.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of good times with my close friends that are local. I really do. But that's always in the back of my head. And I know everybody listening to this is probably feeling the same way. It's always in the back of my head. Like, family get-togethers are difficult. Getting together with friends sometimes in the back of my head, it's very difficult. So.
Yep. Well, I wanted to ask you, because I know that, you know, 2017, you spoke at the Flat Earth Conference. And I wanted to ask you, could you just briefly tell us, could you tell us how you got invited, how that was, and what your experiences were then, and, you know, how it was?
I did, and I was very honored to be involved. I was on a question and answer panel with Patricia Steer and a couple other people. David Weiss was on the panel, D Marble, it's YouTube, Mr. Thrive and Survive, and Bob Nodell from Globebusters. And then Patricia was the host of the show live on stage, and she had a couple questions. And then they had two lines of people during the conference, just people watching the conference that stood up that wanted to ask us different questions. And I absolutely loved it. I was terrified at first because you're standing in front of like 500 or 600 people, and then there's so much media there, and it's like live coverage, and you're really putting yourself out there. It's a very vulnerable position, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people in there that agree with you, but when the media is involved, man, there's just so much that's going to be said that, you know, people aren't agreeing with you. But I wouldn't have traded for the world. I feel like my whole life I've worked my way up to being able to do things like that, or even just something like this. This may seem very simple. You and I were talking like friends, but it can be nerve-wracking. You know, it's live. There's no going back and fixing, you know, what you said. And I have struggled all my life with anxiety, and I actually have a physical issue where it's a neurological issue where I cannot regulate my heart rate and my blood pressure, something I was born with. Either that or it's a vaccine injury, I can't tell. But, you know, those sorts of things, like something I've dealt with my whole entire life, and then to be able to my courage up to be able to do things like this, to get to the point where I feel like I can document and share with other people, or to go on stage and talk in front of people. It was just an out of this world experience. Sorry about that terminology, but it was just really incredible. And I loved it. I know a lot of people question, you know, things about the conferences and like the expense of the tickets and such, but
I think that's just ridiculous. People hate it. Because, you know what? It's okay. So it's okay if we go to a friggin'
concert.
Yeah. And drop a couple $100, but we can't go meet a bunch of like-minded people that we never get to be around because, like you said, I'm always the outcast everywhere we are. Why not go hang out? I wouldn't want if I could. I watched the whole thing live.
Yeah.
Me and a friend.
The last year's conference was my first Flat Earth meetup. I had not been to any before that. So my first meetup was like, do it up big, you know, 500 people or whatever it was. And like you said, a concert, like, Wayne, my fiance, and I, like, we're going to a concert the 1st and 2nd of December. Like, we'll probably drop a couple $100, just hotel, tickets, food, alcohol, whatever, like, the traveling there. And we don't think anything of that. And you're not really paying to go see people and socialize, because a lot of people did that and didn't pay for tickets. They didn't go see the presenters. They went and just socialized for free. You know, I mean, they had to pay for a hotel room, but, and some people, like, got B&Bs or whatever, or they shared rooms.
The house.
Yeah. So some people didn't even buy tickets and didn't actually go see the presentations. They went and saw all the vendors and all the product, all the books and the t-shirts and stuff, and they hung out with like all these flat earthers for a couple of days. But to me, I forget even what the tickets were. I think they were $250 last year. I think they're $250 this year for a VIP ticket. I mean, I explained to people, like, you're getting, the first day you're getting 8 to 9 hours of speakers. Then the next day you're getting 12 hours of speakers. We saw a premiere of Scientism Exposed 2. We got a copy of Scientism Exposed 2, which is like a 2-hour DVD. Everybody that had a VIP ticket got that. You went to a VIP dinner, which was a beautifully catered dinner, and you got to sit with the speakers. That was just your opportunity that if you wanted like one-on-one time, you know, with them, that you were able to. It was catered, it was open bar, you know, and where are you going to go that you could pay $250 to get all that? You know what I mean? To me, the price made sense. Yes, not everybody can afford it. I understand it, but to me, it, you know, there's a lot of expenses.
What was it like meeting some of the people that you had become good friends with online? It must have been awesome. I've done it. I do my show, and you know, since like 2010, and my friend Justin that I did it with was from Connecticut, but James is from New Zealand. He flew over from New Zealand and met up at my house, and my other friend RD from Baltimore drove up, picked up Justin, and it was the best time. We had like a little 9/11 meetup at my house.
Yeah.
We didn't have a conference. We didn't do that, but I mean, that must have been awesome. I know how it feels.
Oh, it was. And for the people that don't go or don't get to go, I feel bad because they didn't get to experience that and may even feel bitter about it. But it was wonderful meeting all these people that I talked to for years, you know, and never maybe saw like this, but never got to like hug or talk to, like watch them eat. Sounds weird. Like all these normal things, you know, actually sit beside them. And like the first person I saw, and I was like teary eyed. It was very emotional. When I was even on my trip, because I drove down from Pennsylvania to North Carolina, it took about 5.5-6 hours, and I cried on my way down there because I'm thinking about all these emotions I'm going to feel to see these people for the first time ever. And the first person I saw when I walked into the hotel was D. Marvel. So he was the first one I saw, big hug, like warm hug. And I was a nervous wreck. Like, I literally felt like I was going to pass out until I got to him and gave him a hug. And then I was like, okay, I can do this, you know? And, I mean, I just think it was incredible. It was so much more than just watching them speak. Because, I mean, we got to go out to eat together. We got to sit at the bar together. If that's your thing, I like to have a drink or two. I have fun with that, relax, you know? We played games. We traveled together. We went to the billboard, which was amazing. People had parties here and there. Like, it was just so much fun and so much socializing. It was like a super high. Like, it was actually depressing to leave, you know.
Yeah.
But to me, it was an incredible experience. I can't say anything bad about it.
Made some new friends in the community that you weren't already following or whatnot.
There was, and what's crazy, and I don't mean this to sound vain at all, but you know, everybody's walking around with like a name tag, and I had people come up to me like, "Oh my gosh, you're Carly Sunshine," and I'm like, "Yes, I am." Like, and it was just crazy people to recognize me. But plus, he had a name tag on. But I was like, I had some people come up to me that aren't on Facebook, don't have a channel, just only followed some of my videos. Like, never had a face out there. Like, I never got to see them. Maybe they commented here and there, or they're just like closet flat earthers. And they would come up and say hi to me, and I was like, that is such a good feeling. And a lot of people leave the conference not being closet flat earthers anymore because they just are so motivated by seeing all these fellow like-minded people that they're okay now with coming out, you know?
Yeah. When did you start your YouTube channel? I don't know if we talked about that.
I remember in October of 2015, I started my own flat earth group on Facebook. And then that just like grew exponentially because now I have like 12 of them or something, maybe even more than that. But my channel, I don't think I started a channel till March of 2016, so it's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember. Because I think the channel was around a little bit before that because of just getting on other people's channels and commenting and stuff. But I don't think I started making content till March of 2016.
What are some steps you'd like to see people in the community take to maybe get this thing rolling better or smooth or...
I think the potential for that everybody has as far as doing the experiments and the videos and the talent, the singing, the art, all that, it's already there. I think we need to work on, like I said earlier, understanding how like precious and special we are to each other and stop the infighting, like really work on each other's egos, because that's really what holds us back. Like literally, there's not the CIA or some weird like undercover group that's trying to stop the flat earth from social media and YouTube. We're doing it to ourselves. You know what I mean? I mean, there is evil out there, but I mean, the majority of what's going on is we're just killing ourselves from the inside out.
The finger pointing is so frustrating. The finger pointing and the inability to just, you know, be a little open-minded and just put the thoughts out there. It's like so frowned upon, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the good word for it is. It's just that people are, there's so many people that preach one thing and then they turn around and they're so judgmental, you know? Or they get so jealous, like you said earlier about, like the ego and people being concerned about, I was the first one to do this or I already did that. It's like, everybody understands that we need to be like this, like school of fish moving in the same direction. You know what I mean? And I said it, I said this at the conference in front of everyone. Someone asked about leaders, you know, one of the questions was like leadership, like who could we pick as a leader or something like that. And I'm like, I don't think it needs to be that way because humans are fallible. We all mess up. And we've seen that in every person that anyone wants to consider a leader because they have a big channel. Everybody makes mistakes. It's hard to put all your like intentions and all your confidence and your respect in one basket because people are going to let you down. It's inevitable. But all of us are leaders. Like all of us now, even though some of us have been in on 3 or 4 years, like we're still the beginning of this. I don't know how long it's going to take till it reaches critical mass, but all of us are the first. We need to be the leaders going forward. Everybody needs to learn how to like get along with each other so you can teach your children and the next generation and the next friend or family member that isn't open yet. You know what I mean? Like that's who needs to be the leaders. That's the kind of stuff I want to see change. And I've been talking about it for 3 years at least as far as the predicament of the community infighting and stuff.
Gotten a little worse as of late.
Well, you know what? You can say that, but I remember like back in December of like 2015 being involved in a bunch of groups, and I mean cattiness and horrible like backstabbing, people complaining and saying I did this experiment first and you did this, and like to the point where I'd cry at night, anxiety attacks. I'm like, I'm done, I'm gonna quit Flat Earth and I'm not ever doing this again. It's been going on since the beginning. I mean, there's people that aren't even involved anymore that I remember from the beginning that just quit because they're like, I'm done with the drama and everything. Like, it's not, for them, it was too much. You know what I mean? It's probably always going to be there, unfortunately. But I feel like if enough of us work towards not being that way, you know, it might help. Yeah. This is one thing I would like to say. Because people, like, I've heard people mention, like, do you think everyone that wakes up to the Flat Earth are, like, the chosen ones? You know, like, they're not everybody's going to get it and not everybody's going to awaken to it. And I would say yes to a point, but I would say the ones that literally seem like they've been chosen are the ones that actually understand how to treat each other now. Because in my mind, Flat Earth is way more important than understanding that the Earth is not curved and it doesn't move. To me, it's understanding that we were created by a creator and we were created for a purpose and that we have so much more potential. We're a shred of what we used to be. Those are the people that are going to move forward. And those are the people in my mind that were like chosen to go forward and continue to teach this. The ones that don't get that and don't understand why humanity is involved in this, they're not going to make it.
I'm going to ask you couple more questions and then we'll probably wrap it up, okay? Because we've been so what other, are there other topics now like that you're looking into besides the Flat Earth? Like currently, what else are you looking into, or are there any key topics that we skipped along the way?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff I've looked into. I do a lot of work on chemtrails. I've done just a lot of documentation and little short videos, like little short informational videos. A lot of photography on the chemtrail part. Sorry, I heard a little bit of an echo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why. What's your what's your opinion on chemtrails? What do you think is happening?
Mine mirrors yours quite a lot. I don't necessarily think that it's being done to poison us, because how would the elite or whoever is supposedly in control protect themselves from it? You know, if it's, I do think that there's a byproduct of it and it makes us sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also agree 100% because of what I've observed. Every single time that those chemtrails are being sprayed in the sky, they're going in a direction where they, like, it's blocking the sun. Like, to me, it is blocking the sun out. I do think that is probably, could be for health reasons, because the sun has a pivotal, it's very important to us as far as health. The creation of vitamin D, I think there's also an an unknown that doctors don't tell you or scientists can't explain, that when you're walking outside barefoot, the connection you have with the earth is almost like, and the sun, it's almost like an electrical download. Like, I think if we walk outside with shoes on, that we're not grounding ourselves. When you ground yourself and actually touch the earth with skin and you're out in the sun, I don't think it's as dangerous. I think a lot of people have dangerous consequences in the sun because they're not grounding themselves. I think that, like, when we go to the ocean, and I know David Weiss agrees with me on this too, we go to the ocean, we feel like $1 million because we're standing in, like, sand and glass, and we're around salt water, we're breathing it in, or we're in the salt water, which is also a conductor of electricity, and then we're standing in the sun. So we're getting some kind of energy download, you know, plus the creation of the vitamin D. So I definitely think chemtrails are blocking out the sun, but they also do it at night. So I think they're hiding something in the sky. I think that it's gotten way worse in the last 4 years, and I think it has a lot to do with us now coming out and observing the sun and the moon. I know that sounds silly, but I honestly think that because so many of us that are believing the earth is flat and stationary are now researching what the sun and the moon are, it's like the chemtrails have gotten way worse because there's so many times you can't see the sky, you know? I've done research into things like Pizzagate, which is horrendous rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, I saw you had some videos. I was going to ask you about that. I never looked into it, really.
Oh my gosh.
I heard about it, but just something I didn't get into.
It's one of those things where everybody should know about it, but it's so hard to try to... It's so hard for me to suggest people looking into it because it is difficult. Very difficult to get to look into. But I've looked into that a little bit and did some video vlogging on my opinion on Pizzagate, geologic things like the volcanoes. What else? Mostly, though, I mean, I created a channel mostly because of the flat Earth, but there's different things, you know, sporadically in there. The No Forest on Flat Earth, I have a video log on that as well. In fact, that was my first video log ever.
Video.
What's that?
The one you did with your thoughts on No Forest and Flat Earth.
Yeah.
That's a really good video.
You want to hear a funny story about that video log? I was sitting outside, and I decided to do it in black and white because I was, like, insecure, and I'm like, I don't like the way I look in color. And I'd never done it before, and I was like, black and white is pretty forgiving. Well, when I had my camera, like, set up, and I was, like, doing, like, a little test video, I just did, like, a little test video for, like, 10 seconds and then turned it off, and then I did the video log. Well, later, when I went back and checked my test video, I didn't know it till after I was completely done with the video log, a spider crawled across my chest, went down my shirt, came back out again, and then crawled away. I was like, oh, my God, that happened, and I didn't even feel it or know it or anything. So luckily, it didn't happen while I was actually doing the video log, but I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. I survived it, though. I don't like spiders, and I couldn't believe that happened. Oh.
Well, hopefully you stop making some more videos soon. So.
Yeah, this is definitely going to help, because I haven't done one of these in a while, so this helps.
Yeah, I knew it would probably help a bit. So I'm going to ask you, like, another question or two, and then we'll wrap it up, okay?
Okay.
Actually, just one more question, really, and then we might ask a few things from that, but why did you decide to come do this interview tonight?
It was time. You and I have a really good connection, and I think you understand my thoughts, and I think I've shared with you before that I really struggle big time with the attitude of the community a lot, and sometimes it's almost like a depression. I literally have no motivation to help others. I don't want to get in front of anyone and share my thoughts because I feel like sometimes it's like, it's not doing any good, you know, but you and I share a lot of our theories and the way we look at the community and truth in general and just humanity and everything. And I respect you. And I think this is a good platform to get on and start sharing again. It just, you motivated me. So I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on.
It was a good night. It went fast. It's already 10 o'clock.
You have big plans for tomorrow?
We're going to go over to Wayne's daughter's house and have dinner. I think. But no real big plans.
Yeah, I'm going down to visit my mother. It's a couple-hour drive, but I'll see a lot of family and stuff. And then back to work Friday morning, so a lot of travel tomorrow.
I have to work Friday also.
Yeah. So. Maybe sometime you can come back and let me just do our regular roundtable type show on a Saturday. Maybe you can join us.
Yep, I was going to say, I heard you talk about roundtable discussion, and I love those. So I would, if you would have me, I would love to get on a roundtable discussion.
All right, well, then we'll plan something soon. I'll definitely let you know.
Like, awesome.
Within a couple of weeks or something, we'll figure something out.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you so much for coming on, Carly. And everybody,
thank you.
Her channel. It's in the show notes. And Carly, I don't know if you can see the chat. Maybe you can throw it in the chat real quick before I close the video on the YouTube.
Yeah, I do see. I've been following a little bit. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, if you can grab your channel link before I end the video on them, that way they have a chance to click it. Just make it a little easier for people. But if you guys don't get it, just go to the show notes under the show, and it's right there. And if you're watching this on a replay, just at the end of the video, I'll have something that pops up you can just click on. It'll go right to Carly's.
Yeah, I don't know if I can grab it quick. Well, I can try. Wait a minute.
That's fine.
I'm not technologically inclined. Oh, yeah. They'll have to get it afterwards. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what. I'll do it real quick.
Okay.
One second, everybody. Before I close the show, I just want to drop you guys the link so it's sitting there in the chat. Because I know
thank
some
you.
People, they'll be like, why didn't I see it? I'm like, I told you it's in the show notes.
So I'm looking. I have like a little tablet, but I hardly ever use it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I even back up? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't stand using tablets.
Like, I'm using my phone right now. It's on a tripod. But then I have a little tablet here that I can follow some of the chat. But like I said, I'm not technologically inclined.
All right. I got your channel link right now. I'm going to throw it in the chat.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Of course, I appreciate you coming on. It was awesome. And of course, if you want to, I mean, you can narrow the very video, do whatever you want with it if you want, or you can just, you know, post it.
What was that?
I said if you wanted to mirror the video or anything like that, you can. If not, you know, just post the link wherever. Anybody in the chat, if you guys can, just thumb up the video and share it, please. You've been listening to My Awakening, episode number 16. I almost lost count because I did 3 this week with Brennan yesterday and mine Saturday. I'll be back Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. With 2 p.m. Eastern with me, Paul Knight, and Gloria Cannata. I don't even know what we're going to get into yet. And just thank you, everybody, for listening. You can listen to Dose of Reality Radio with Carly Sunshine Medrano, Brian Stavely, and we're out.